Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with each and every one here today. We ask you to prepare our hearts to receive your precious word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you asked a dozen people who God is, you'd probably have a dozen answers. All of them quite different. The atheist would say, well, there is no God. The agnostic would say, well, we can't know if there's a God. The materialist would say, I don't need a God. And even among those who believe in God, there would probably be no consensus on what he's like. I've been working on some sermons that have to do with the questions that Jesus asked. Jesus asked somewhere around 307 questions in the Gospels. Of course, some of that would be duplication in the harmony of the Gospels, so that would still put it to around 200 and some questions that he asked. And so, Lord willing, I'll be sharing some of those messages and the questions that he asked. So this is a question today. Who is God? What is he like? Some people see him as a father that's ready to grant all of their requests. Some treat him as a sugar daddy. They think they can get anything they want. The Bible says, I could give you the delight of your heart, but send leanness to your soul. You know, you can want something so bad that God will finally let you have it. And it may not be what you really wanted after all. You really need to seek God's will first in your life concerning those matters. To others, he's a cruel dictator who mistreats anyone who gets out of line. To the deists, he is an impersonal force who created the universe but doesn't interact with his creatures. And so I'm going to ask you that question today. What is God like? Who is God? Has God revealed himself to you in special ways in your life that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt there's a God in heaven who loves you? Would any of you like to share any of your experiences? I've asked Andy to get those portable mics ready. If anybody would just like to share a little bit of your experience, how has God revealed himself to you? Has God answered a prayer for you that you knew only he could do it? Has he revealed something to you that you know only God could do that? We could be here till the cows come home if I were to share you all the things that God has done in my life and revealed himself to me. I know he's real, beyond any shadow of doubt. Yes. But I want each and every one of you to know that. I want you to know that. I want you to see that. I want him to be as real to you as he's been to me through the years. Can you think of a time in your life that God had really revealed himself in such a way that changed your life forever? Think about that. Would you like to share about it? Would you just like to say a few things about it? And if you're here today and he's never done that to you, don't be downtrodden. I'll tell you an illustration that was given to me because I heard your testimony. I won't tell you who the name is, but when I share it, you'll know who I'm talking about. You came on a Sunday morning when we was in the old church. Came time for the offering. And you knew you couldn't put anything in the offering that day because you were down to a few pennies. And God knew that. He knew that. And I shared it. I know of another situation. I said that there's somebody in the church that has a real important decision that they have to make. I had no idea who it was. Found out later who it was because they called me and told me that it was them. God works in so wonderful ways. How about you? How? I know there's more of you out there. God has changed your life forever. You'll never be the same. When did it happen and where?
That was abusive and just terrible to her. Her That's right.
In heaven.
Amen.
And he hugged me and kissed me and apologized when we left. And they have been together 26 years. And that's a long time to pray. And let me tell you what, I was at that altar every Sunday, and that's what I prayed for. And that was the answer that I got. And another Sunday, another Sunday in the old church, I had never went up to the altar because I was the new member, and I just, I'd never done that. And it was like God literally pushed me out of the seat and said, you need to go to the altar. I had no idea what I was going there for. Not a clue. And I stood at that altar, and I saw, and a picture of a very good friend of mine who I hadn't seen in a long time kept coming in front of me. Her name was Debbie. And I was praying for Debbie, and I had no idea why, and found out later that she was in the hospital and nearly died at that same time that a blood clot had gone through her heart. And, of course, I had no clue about that. So that is two major things. I mean, I could go on forever.
From the Christian perspective, we believe that God exists and that He cares to give us a very clear picture of Himself, of His character, of His knowledge, of His power. Sometimes we base our thoughts of what He's like on our own speculation, our own education or maybe our experiences. But He has displayed Himself in four ways. I'm going to share them with you right now. First of all, He's made Himself available and revealed Himself through His creation. That's Psalms 19 that we read. The heavens are telling of the glory of God. Their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. And at the very time that David wrote this psalm, all that was known was about the sun and the moon and stars was what could be observed through the human eye. But today, we have telescopes and satellites, even greater perspective on what the universe looks like. It's amazing the order and complexity of the heavenly bodies. But yet still, people choose to rely on human ideas to account for their existence. Instead of seeing the reality of a wise and powerful creator who designed and controls the vast universe, they choose to still not believe in Him. In Romans 1 and verse 20, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. From the vastness of the cellular universe to the intricacies of the cells and atoms, every created thing testifies of God's existence. How can you stand in the face of a tornado or a hurricane or an earthquake or a tidal wave without sensing God's mighty power? Who can walk through a forest or climb a mountain or watch a sunset without marveling at God's goodness and wisdom and beauty? Have you had a glimpse of Him? How many of you have seen God in the things I just mentioned? I know Petey sees Him in the forest. I've seen Him in the sunset. I've seen some beautiful sunsets. Sometimes you think you have to go to the ocean. How many of you have seen a sunset in the ocean? I have. But I can tell you, we've had some beautiful sunsets right here in Pennsylvania. Just take time to look. Just take time to look. How beautiful. How beautiful. And I can tell you, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you need to invite Him into your heart, because you'll see the beauty of His creation in a way that you've never seen Him before. And you see, I believe that's the key. starts with salvation. You can't comprehend God without inviting him into your heart. So would you start today, if you're here today and don't know him, invite him into your heart. You'll see things that is just amazing. So that was the first one. Oh, let me give you the second one. The second way that God reveals himself is through our conscience. In Romans 1:19, and I never seen that there before, but I see it now. That which is known about God is evident within them. I've read that many times and just really never caught that as referring to my conscience. Let me say that again. Romans 1:19, that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. We all have an inner witness to the existence and the righteousness of God in our conscience. If you were asked to explain what is a conscience, let me give you a definition that I looked up this morning. An inner feeling or voice viewed as acting as a guide to the rightness or wrongness of one's behavior. Example, he had guilty conscience about his desires. A sense of right and wrong, moral sense, an inner voice. Why else does every culture have standards of morality? God has placed that within all of us. God has given us an inner ability to discern between the right and wrong. And then later on in his letter to the Romans, Paul wrote that even the Gentiles who don't have the law instinctively obey it because it's written in their hearts, and their conscience either accuses or defends them. Chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 of Romans. And then thirdly, the third avenue of God's revelation is what you have in your laps this morning, what you're holding, his written word. We hold it in our hands today. It contains the truth. We'd never know it apart from his direct disclosure. Here we have it, his precious word. He spoke to the people in the Old Testament times through his prophets, Hebrews 1:1. Their prophecies were never made by an act of human will, but men were moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God, 2 Peter 1:21. They were controlled and they were guided by the Spirit to relay exactly what God had told them. Yes, he used their vocabulary and their own personality, but he still breathed his words through their pens. And that's what we call inspiration. And according to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You see, the Bible was given not only to reveal God, but as a source to guide us, to transform, that's salvation. It's our instruction book for life and eternity. And then fourthly, you should know the answer to this one. What's the fourth way he revealed himself to us? Anyone? O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Silent night. Anyone get it yet? Through his son. Fourthly, he revealed himself through his son. According to Hebrews 1 and 2, God has spoken to us in his son. The eternal pre-existent Son of God took on human flesh, and he came to earth and lived among his people, and everything he did revealed the Father's character and power and purpose in himself. He is the radiance of his glory. He is the exact representation of his nature, Hebrews 1 and 3. It's why Jesus could say to his disciples, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." John chapter 14 and verse 9. You see, the issue is not if we have enough revelation from God. It's whether we have accepted what he has already given. My prayer today is that we'll make it our ambition to pay attention to every aspect of God's self-revelation. We will know and we can understand clearly who he is. Now, we haven't heard from all of you, and I know that some of you have much to share. I know, because I know your story and I've heard your testimony. And I know you'll never be the same. And I'm very grateful and thankful for the assurance that I have that there's a God in heaven who loves me. And he cares for me every day. He loves me. And he loves you. And he does care about the things that you go through in life. He does. Because he showed it to me many, many times. Oh, I'm so glad to be saved. How about you? Aren't you glad to know Jesus today? And if you don't, you need to invite him. Should the vastness of his creation make you feel perhaps insignificant? I want you to remember that he loved you enough to send his son to die for your sins so you could have eternal life. Whew, glory.